Blog Talk Radio.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die. You know we've got to find to bring some loving here today. We don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can complicate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh,
and we are on. Hi, everyone. I'm Kay Thompson, and you are?
Gus Henning.
And welcome to A Closer Look. Welcome to the Kay and Gus Show, where we're going to be taking a closer look at a number of different information, pieces of information. As a matter of fact, I used to say on the other radio station, a little bit of a news information and education station of this time, Blog Talk Radio. And we have a really very interesting show, a very moving show, a very exciting show, and a show that's going to really make you angry. Okay, and I would like to, you know, get into this right away, but Gus, you know, how's everything going today?
We're about to make everybody angry.
That's
good news.
Yeah. Now that Obama has, you know, raised that $47 million, you know, from the Democratic net for his national campaign, I think everything is going pretty well there. Also, you know, Medicare and pension. What's the matter with those politicians? They want to cut Medicare and cut pension. Those of us over 55 have a real serious issue with this.
Well, I'm not old enough to worry about it yet.
Alrighty, okay, I'll leave that one alone. But, you know, a lot of people are really very annoyed with this. You know, people can't pay their bills right now, and then they want to cut this and cut that, and they're talking about a debt ceiling and so forth and so on. But we're going to be finding out more about that at a later date. We're going to be having Congressman Donald Payne in here to explain things to us. But it's really very exciting for today. Now, we're just at the top of the show, but I really want to tell people about our guest for today. We want to get right into it because it's a long show, and it's not nearly going to, you know, get to the bottom of, you know, the topic that we want to get to. Sonny Sutherland, how are you?
Fine, thank you, and thank you for having me here.
And thank you for being here. Sonny and I have known each other for a long time, for about how many years, Sonny?
Oh, maybe about 10, 15.
10 or 15 years.
Maybe 17 years. Man.
I think a little bit.
It's about 17.
Yeah, we can go for 20. From the LIB BLS days?
Yes, I remember those days.
Yeah.
Those were the days, my friend.
I tell you. But, you know, you had a problem that happened, which we're going to be talking about. But even before we talk about that, and what it is really is the horrible state of child services and child abuse and foster care. So, you know, welcome, Sonny. So good to see you.
Thank you. I thank you and Gus for having me on.
Well, thank you for being here. And I'd like to also welcome your son, Nathaniel. Nathaniel Sutherland, how are you?
I'm all right today.
Last time I saw you, you were little. And now he's about 6 foot.
Yeah, he's not little anymore. He's taller than I am. I'm 6'2". He must be about 6'3½".
I tell you. You know, the show tonight, Sonny and Nathaniel and Gus, as you know, the show is being sponsored by BW Moving Images, and they are located right here in Jersey City. And they are our production people for this wonderful program. You know, Sonny, and just getting back into a zone in radio was very easy. I stepped into a studio in New Rochelle and said, wow, this is home. So, and then called Ty in Xavier, Washington, and he was setting nice enough to set
but
up.
But you're such a natural, okay?
You know, it feels good. It feels good. It's like being
this
home
is where
in
you
the
belong.
Zone.
And Gus, well, Gus is like the inventor of radio.
Yeah. The inventor of radio.
Yeah.
I like that.
When I started, we used flags.
But also, you know, so BW Moving Images is the production company. As you know, they're absolutely great. Ty Washington and Tawana. Boy, I'm thinking of Tawana Rowley already, you know. Have to talk to
you. Yeah, you did
that.
Break that story.
Yeah. A lot of people think I didn't, you know, on our show,
you broke
right?
It.
But I want to thank Ty and also Shauna Glover, who's an online engineer. And Lisa Payne and Ayanna Jones, our producers and whatnot, and, you know, really for this exciting opportunity.
Yeah,
you know?
they're a great group.
Yeah.
I've known them for a long time, and believe me, they're fantastic.
You taught Ty, didn't you?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think he came to the table with his own talent. Okay. He was smart from the beginning.
He was you're giving him all the caps, right?
Yeah, got to.
Okay, all the props.
The truth is the truth.
But hey, let me interrupt. The reason he's being so careful about that, about Ty, and, because Ty is operating all the microphones.
And Sonny knows that.
And Sonny knows that.
But anyway, another sponsor of our show, Sonny and Nathaniel, I guess, is JimmyCap.com out in California. And people should get in touch with Jim at JimmyCap.com because they're offering their it's a giveaway. They were giving away these little caps that, you know, the basketball players wear and the football players wear underneath their, you know, underneath their helmets and whatnot. So whoever calls Jim at JimmyCap.
Listening now? Maybe he can send a few for us.
Yeah, well, all you have to do is call him and he will send them for free.
Wow,
for
that's
free.
Great.
So he has an 800 number, 800-472-0778. I'll give that number out again later. So, but you have to say that you heard it on the Kay and Gus show.
Okay.
On Blog Talk Radio, you know?
Gotcha.
And you give the size, you give the color, and really, they will send them. He will send them Drury. What am I saying? Dowry.
Now, these are good
Drury.
Caps. These are caps that everybody's going to want to wear.
Oh, yeah, sure. And they're wearing them now.
Can I get sunglasses with those caps? If I mention Gus's name, can I get the
sunglasses? There you go. There you go. That's the deal. Anyway, I'm glad that you guys are here because this is really a very serious subject. What happened years ago regarding child abuse and foster care with you, Sonny?
Well, as you know, I was working with you at WLIB,
right.
And I had to leave that whole situation that I worked all my life to get to.
Mm-hmm.
I was just getting to being a professional at WLIB, and I had to walk away from that whole situation to deal with my kids. It was a choice of career or my children. And of course, my children are my number one priority. So I had to walk away from LIB, BLS, and try to learn what the system was doing to me and my children. Just to give you a little bit of background, my children were removed from my home back in 1997. In fact, the exact date was June 9th, 1997. At about 9:30 in the evening by a caseworker from ACS, the Administration for Children's Services, which is CPS across the country. And in New York, it's
CPS stands for
Child Protective Services.
Child Protective Services, okay.
They're almost the opposite of that, but that's what they call themselves.
Yeah.
And I don't know about any child that they've ever protected, really. But my son could probably go into that later on when he warms up. He just got to get warmed up. So they removed my children that night about 9:30, and then I had to jump through hoops and play this game in family court, find out where they were, what the charges were, and get an attorney. Then they had an attorney for the children and so on and so forth. But eventually, just to shorten the story, I realized that it was a game. It was a joke. And they were playing this joke and game with myself and my family. I had an attorney. The attorney didn't do much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I can do it myself. Got on the internet, you know, thank modern technology for the internet, and started learning different things. And decided to get rid of the attorney and do it myself. It gave me an even harder time because I was representing myself.
Yeah.
And I said, well, wait a minute, this is not going to work. The family court here in New York City is a joke. And I said, I have to do something. I have to try to bring this to another level where I can have some type of leverage, some type of say, and where they recognize the law. Family court, they don't recognize the law.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to bring it into the federal court.
Now, how many children are we talking about?
We're talking about six children. My youngest was 3, and my 2 oldest at the time were twins, boy and girl twins. They were about 6 or 7 years old at the time that they removed them.
Boy.
And it was devastating because I was their only consistent parent in their lives, and this is the first time something like this has ever happened.
Yeah.
And it was all based on false allegations, and I know everybody says that. And a caseworker that lied to get a warrant from a family court judge using other children's history.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying this through the whole family court thing, but nobody was listening to me. so they never really paid attention. They really just ignored me.
Yeah.
They had my kids, and I had to do whatever they say. In fact,
and
a caseworker, right, a caseworker supervisor told me, you're going to have to comply with 36 of my stipulations before I even think about giving you children.
Hold
back.
That right there, Sonny. We do have to go for a break. We'll be right back with the rest of this story. We have the rest of the hour. Stay with us, everyone. We want to give you the number for you to call in. And the number for you to call and to talk to Sutherland and his wife, son Nathaniel, that number is 323-679-0906. That number is 323-679-0906. We will be right back with more. Stay with us. I'm Kay Thompson with Gus Henningberg, with Sonny Sutherland and Nathaniel Sutherland. We're talking about an extreme case of child abuse that you were involved in. You were the recipient of the abuse, really. You were abused by the system.
Yes. The system that is designed to protect children. 90% of the time, it doesn't protect children. Mm. The system is a money-making mechanism that brings in children to justify them making money for the psychiatrists, the psychologists, for the law guardians, or the lawyers for the children, as they call them now in New York, for the prosecutors, for the child protective services, for the judges. It's a mess. It's really a corrupt mess, and it's a continuous cycle that once you get in, there is no. Well, let's pause and let's see what he's saying is true. Well, let's look and see if maybe we made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work that way. Once they get you, they got you. It's worse than slavery.
Boy.
At least the slaves had a chance to run away.
Oh.
There was an opportunity somewhere for them to run away. They had my kids in the system. They put them in special ed. They wanted to drug them. They wanted to put them in a hospital. At one point, they separated all of them.
Wow.
So now, I was restricted to seeing my children. I only saw them sometimes twice a month, sometimes once a month, and sometimes I didn't see them in a month.
And that went on for what period of time?
That went on for years.
Wow.
It really went on for years. And they told me that if I had to comply with whatever they wanted. Oh, they wanted me to get a job. I said, I'm not getting a job. You shouldn't have took my children. No. You're going to have to do what we say and how we say.
But you were working at the time.
Right.
Weren't you working yet?
It was none of their business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because in my mind, they broke the law.
Yeah.
You do not come into somebody's house with a warrant. You know, a warrant is a very serious thing. If somebody's going to deprive you of your right to freedom and your liberty, they have to produce evidence and they have to tell you why. They just don't come in and take you and snatch you off to somewhere. They probably can do that now with the Patriot Act. But,
yeah.
But back then, back in 97, you couldn't do that.
1997.
Yeah, 1997. So that was my premise that I was going on. And just visiting my children and listening to the horror stories. In fact, my son is here. He can tell
you, Nathaniel,
some of the stories. Chime in so we can... Because people want to hear. They want to hear from somebody that really
went through this. Yeah, Nathaniel.
All right. My name is Nathaniel, and I was a foster kid for about 8 years. And some of the things that we went through with the foster parents were like, you know, they didn't feed us, they didn't clothe us. Things they would buy for us, they would give to the children.
And they were getting money for y'all being in their homes. An average, I'm just adding in for the people that don't know, that receive anywhere from a minimum of about $550
per child
up to maybe $2,000 per child if they can prove the child has some type of impairment or some learning disability, anything. They take the child to a doctor, a psychiatrist, and once they put them on drugs, it ups the ante for how much they receive per month per child.
And when they did put me in foster care, they put me in special ed classes. They try to have me see all types of psychiatrists.
And that's that cycle, so they can get more money per child.
When you went to foster care, were you with your sisters and brothers, or you were alone or what?
The first foster home they put me in, I was with three of my relatives. And after I left that foster home, I was pretty much by myself.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I just experienced a lot of stuff, you know, like, how to not care, you know, they just programmed me not to love my family, you know, by being in there, being by myself. And, you know, when I came to visit and I seen my father, all of us, you know, we would leave crying because, you know, it was so short time and they would play so many different games, you know, with my father, not letting us be able to see him and telling him that we came to the visit.
So, yeah, let me just elaborate on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
They would do a trick. The trick is, let's say the visits originally started on Tuesday, and we were supposed to meet at the agency, I think, basically from 4 to 6 or something like that. We were talking about various foster moms. You know, I call them crooks because they're paid to act on behalf of the subcontract agency that gets the money from the Administration for Children's Services, and they get the money from the city, the state, and the federal government to do this kind of
foolishness
that they do.
Now, wait a minute, you're saying foster moms. Oh, okay.
So the foster mom is an extension of the criminals.
It's an extension of the system, then,
right.
In other words.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. One foster mom in a home where my son was in had broke her back, and she couldn't show up to a visit. So I'm sitting there waiting for my son to show up. I think that was the time he was in Queens. And they didn't show up because she had supposedly broke her back. Then the next 2 weeks, they said, oh, we're going to do a makeup visit. That never happened. The next 2 weeks, she shows up and she's fine. I said, wait a minute, somebody broke her back. I'm supposed to be sitting in a wheelchair, you know. And another time it was a car accident. They had all types of stories. And they use whatever they can use. And it's justified because there's nobody to oversee it. There's no accountability in the system whatsoever. My children had various bruises and marks. And when I would question them, they just fell. And I said, wait a minute. If that happened with a parent and a child, then you would want to lock them up and put them in jail.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it got to the point to where when my children would show up with different bruises, I would call the police.
Yeah.
And the police wouldn't take the complaint against the agency. So I realized it was all connected and they were all acting in cahoots to do their hocus pocus. There were some type of game going on with the visits. When they would tell my kids, oh, you're going to a visit today, and they would tell me that the visit is off, my kids would show up for the visit, and they would say, see, your father doesn't love you.
They would do all of that?
Oh, yes.
And did you know that? Were you aware of that, Nathaniel, at the time, or what?
I was very young, but I knew my father was coming to all the visits. It was just the game that the caseworkers were playing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They would even do a thing where on a makeup visit date, they would call me at the last moment, say the visit's at 4 o'clock. They would call me at 3:45. Mr. Sutherland, can you show up to a visit today? And it was like the difference between Brooklyn and Manhattan. The children are here, and they're waiting for you. Can you please show up? I said, but nobody told me.
And you went to every single visit for all your children,
Just about.
Good Lord. Yeah.
And they would call me up at the last minute, and I'd have to scrape and borrow or jump on my bike and ride all the way to Manhattan. There's a few times I rode my bike to Manhattan just to make sure I kept the visit. Now, there were times on their birthday, And I would bring cake. You know, I'm preparing to bring cake and everything to celebrate the visit and encourage my children to hang in there. Everything is going. I tell them this all the time. Everything's going to be all right. You're going to be home soon, despite the fact of what the individual foster parents and their law guardian was telling them, that they'll never see their father again. You're never going home. You better get comfortable here. You're going to stay here. I mean, he can tell you. But I know the stuff that they was telling him, because I used to speak to other children while I'm waiting for my children to show up, and I would encourage them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would listen to some of their stories and try to assist them. And that's another reason why they didn't want me around no one else, because I started networking within the system. And I said, I don't have to put up with that. And I was listening to some of the stories that they were putting some of the foster moms through, which I really didn't care because they were part of the system.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the things that they were putting natural parents through,
mm-hmm.
and forcing them to do the drug testing every day, some parents.
For the kids or what?
No,
the drug,
no,
the parents.
For the parents.
The parents.
They had parents going for drug testing every day. And I said, this is ridiculous. This whole thing is crazy.
All right, then. What segment of the community is this primarily, this crime? Primarily perpetuated.
Well, they target blacks and Puerto Ricans and a lot of foreigners, immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
The immigrants, because they're scared and their status is probably questionable. So they target the immigrants. They target the blacks because they don't have enough resources. And eventually they will milk you from your resources, just like going through a divorce and you have a greedy attorney.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to milk you until you have no more resources, then you lose your divorce case.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with the whole foster care, with the whole supposedly child protection system. They do that thing just to drain you, and then they psychologically try to destroy you, telling you, oh, well, you have to do this, you have to do that, and you have to get a new place. Your place is not big enough. The neighborhood is not good enough. They use every type of degrading thing they can to try to pull you down and break you down to nothing, just to give you give up,
mm-hmm.
so your children stay in the system and they continue to get the money.
How in the world did you continue fighting? Because that has been going on for how many years? When did this start?
It started in 97.
97.
And it's actually still going on to this day with me fighting the system.
Yeah.
Because I went into federal court, as I mentioned earlier.
You sued them?
Yes, I sued the city of New York. Actually, it's Sutherland versus Giuliani.
Oh.
That was the caption in federal court. And Giuliani had a policy back then, when in doubt, yank them out. And that was what they were doing. They were yanking out kids like you would not believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then simultaneously, they were experimenting on kids with the whole AIDS thing. They had young babies and they were experimenting with these powerful AIDS drugs on babies that they took from their parents and terminated their rights. I said, this is...
And they were actually experimenting?
Yes. Yes, they were actually... Mm-hmm. The BBC did a big thing. It's called Guinea Pig Kids,
uh-huh.
on the whole thing. It's on the internet.
Yeah, it's on the internet.
Yeah,
I read that. Right,
internet.
Right, right.
But they would do these type of things to psychologically to destroy parents who kind of like had it together. A lot of parents really had issues, but they really weren't trying to work with the parents with their issues to bring them up to a functioning level.
Let me give a number for people to call, because I know there might be some people who want to really, you know, have some questions for you. And
well,
really,
you know, actually, I want to say this, Kay.
Yeah,
that
go ahead.
It's better to have people contact you and then you contact me.
Because
this way we need some type of filtering process.
Okay.
And then you and Gus are taking this step to bring this forward.
Yeah.
And people should follow protocol.
Yeah, I'm looking at the website right now. If we can go right back to it says the Guinea Pig Kids. It says this website is dedicated to Guinea Pig Kids, a BBC documentary that exposes how the city of New York has been forcing HIV-positive children under its supervision to be used as human guinea pigs,
yes.
in tests for experimental AIDS drug trials.
And using, experimenting on these babies.
Uh-huh.
There's pictures in there that you can't even look at.
In this documentary.
Yes. Tubes hanging out.
Okay. During the break, we're going to be actually playing some of it, and we're going to be seeing this, and we're going to be also. Let me continue with this. So this is a slightly edited version of the complete documentary that was broadcast on Tuesday, the 30th of November, 2004. And as a matter of fact, it says, see if the film for yourself. And what's the name of the film? Film, Sunny, again, it's Guinea Pig Kids. And you can watch it now if you're on
YouTube or on the internet.
On YouTube or the, and this is about the child abuse going on with Children's Protective
right.
Services. Is this happening all over the country?
To some degree, yes.
Okay.
Most of the children are on Zoloft, Ritalin.
These are drugs.
These drugs are powerful mind-altering drugs that they're putting into children, and they're upsetting their whole psyche and their whole thought patterns because these are mind-altering drugs. And they're putting children on these drugs. You take a, it's like you take a fish out of water, and I'm gonna give the fish drugs so the fish doesn't realize it shouldn't be in water.
Yeah, there used to be a thing within some schools that they were giving Ritalin to kids, you know, to calm them down.
And it's a regular thing. But remember what I said earlier: the foster mom, if she can show that the child that she has in her care has some type of difficulty, that ups the ante. It goes from 500 to 600 to 700.
Then she makes more money.
She makes more money.
Whoa. We'll be right back, everyone, going for a break now. Talking to Sunny Sutherland, Nathaniel Sunny Sutherland. I'm Kay Thompson, and I am with Gus Henningberg. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Got a little story I want to tell you. Got a little story right now I want to tell you about we the people, we the people, about we the people. We the people, we the people, we the people, oh, we the people, we the people, we the people, we the people.
Battery Park, in the heart of downtown New York, and a hymn for America in the last of the summer sunshine. New York is the richest city and the richest country in the world. But just a few miles uptown live some of the poorest communities in America. In the Bronx, three grandchildren try to bring their grandmother up to date with the latest fashions. But two people are missing from this picture. Veronica Momadou recently died of AIDS. It was left to her mother, Regina, to bring up three granddaughters and a grandson, Garfield, who's HIV positive. Veronica and Regina had wanted to have a say in the treatment Garfield received. But instead, the New York authorities insisted Garfield stay on drugs and medicines, which even the other children could see were making him ill.
When he was drinking the medicine, sometimes at night, it was in the summertime, so at night he would say, "Mommy, I'm cold. Or he would itch his body all over, nonstop.
And every time he said he was cold, my aunt would tell him to put the heat up. He put the heat up a lot of times, but he kept saying cold.
Is this why your family decided to stop the medicine?
Yeah, my aunt stopped it because he wasn't feeling comfortable.
And he started to do it well. So when she went for a checkup, they gave him the medicine again without her knowing it.
And did he get sick again?
Yeah.
I don't know what type of medicine they were given. If I was allergic to sulfur, and they give it to him, that is cracking all over his body.
Okay, all right. We're back. We are tell us what I'm seeing here, Sonny. Okay,
what you're seeing is the mother complaining of how the system has really kept her in the dark,
yeah,
and experimenting on a young baby. The three girls that you saw were much older,
yeah,
but there was a young baby involved, and it was really too graphic to put up there.
And
you
this,
guys would walk out the studio,
yeah,
if you saw how graphic it was,
oh,
and how heinous the crime was that these people were doing in the Incarnation Center up there in, I think it's like 183rd, 185th, and Audubon. Up in
this is happening now.
Well, no, this was mm-hmm. happening a couple of years ago,
uh-huh,
and it got a whole lot of attention. The December 12th movement got involved.
Yeah,
we were protesting in front of the place, and it went on for weeks. And eventually, they got the BBC did the original documentary.
Now, this what's the name of this documentary for those people who are listening? Guinea Pig Kids.
Right.
G U I N E A. Is that the way that's spelled? What is it? How's that spelled, Ty? Let me getting.
No, so you're always getting yourselves in trouble.
We
yeah,
want to get the right name. G U I N E A. G U I N. Yes, sure. G U I N E A. Guinea Pig Kids. The BBC documentary that exposes how the city of New York has been forcing HIV positive children under its supervision to be used as human guinea pigs in tests for experimental AIDS drug trials.
Right.
And it's a documentary, and right now it is on
and
the internet,
what
everyone.
What they're not saying in that little piece there, they killed 425 kids with that experimentation. 425 kids.
How could this be possible without people knowing?
There's no accountability in the Child Protective Services,
mm,
which takes us on to another twist. A former state senator from Georgia,
yes,
Nancy Schaefer.
I read that article.
Okay. She exposed the whole system. And eventually, they got her out of office, and then they killed her and her husband. This is a very big business.
Mm.
Now, if people really want to know what's
good
going on, they can look at the 15-minute video that she did about 2.5 years, almost 3 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
And it puts everything in perspective,
mm-hmm,
of how the judges make money, how they get kickbacks, how the psychiatrists, psychologists, how the doctors make money. These people are so unaccountable,
mm-hmm,
and they're operating under some kind of spooky kind of untouchable thing that they're
yeah,
in,
yeah,
that a lot of people are afraid to go against them because they'll have your license pulled. They'll cut the resources off. If you're some type of medical provider providing services to the mm-hmm poor through Medicaid, then make sure that that gets cut off.
Let me give this out first. There is Nancy Schaefer. She is the one who was the state
senator.
Right,
she's the former state Georgia senator that exposed
it
on
it
a
right
national
here
level.
CPS warrior, Nancy Schaefer.
Yes.
Schaefer is spelled S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R, gunned down. And this is was in Georgia, and she was
yeah
killed.
She was killed, and her husband was killed in their home.
Mm-hmm. It says here that the corporate media does not bother to mention that Schaefer exposed the abuses of CPS and the international child sex slavery
yes
ring.
Yes, it's all connected. The drugs, the sex, because they would take these. Once you separate a child from their parent,
yeah,
you can basically do anything you want with a child because the child is still gullible and they're susceptible to suggestion, and they're programmed to look up to adults.
Mm-hmm.
So now these adults are guiding them into the whole sex scam.
I don't know
if you remember the Charlie King thing with the White House.
Yes.
And they were supplying these bellboys to the White House for
yes
sex.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that was through Father Flanagan and the whole Boys Town thing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That
yeah
was a big thing.
And I'm looking at this yeah is this article again that says CPS, Child Protective Services warrior, Nancy Schaefer. Go back to the beginning so I can see Nancy Schaefer gunned down. Now, this was on Infowars.com, Infowars, as in Sam.com.
Right.
Infowars.com, March 29th. 2010.
Yeah.
2010 from the Associated
she was just
Press.
Recently.
All right, let me just read this. It says the state investigators say the husband of former state senator Nancy Schaefer shot his wife before turning the gun on himself.
Not true.
Okay. The couple's bodies were found in their North Georgia home on Friday. That's then in around March 9th, 2010.
Right.
The Georgia Bureau of Investigation conducted autopsies on the Schaefer's Saturday. Investigators say all evidence points to the death as a murder-suicide. The bodies of Nancy and Bruce Schaefer, 73 and 74 years old, respectively, were found by their daughter at the couple's home in Clarksville, rather. Nancy Schaefer was a two-term state senator representing Georgia's 50th district. She lost her seat in 2008. Schaefer was also a candidate for mayor of Atlanta, Georgia.
And if I may jump in, Ken, she lost her seat because she exposed what was going on.
Wow. That's why
she lost her seat. Mm. If people tune into the video on YouTube, she explains why she lost her seat.
Mm.
So this is just a twist that the corporate media is putting on this whole thing. So people don't get riled up. Because a lot of people are still asleep, and they don't believe this is going on.
How do you survive this? Nathaniel, how did you deal with this in your head? Or you didn't, or what?
He's still dealing with it. Go ahead, say it. You're still dealing with it.
I'm still dealing with it, and I still think about every day I was in foster care, you know, about certain things that happened to me while I was in one of the foster homes.
He was beat by a school principal, okay? And they refused to report this school principal. The foster mom, who was kind of a nice one at the time, took pictures of it.
Uh-huh.
She wouldn't take it, but she did one thing, but she didn't do the other.
Mm.
She took the pictures, and the pictures are no good unless you have a doctor's sign off on, you know,
a medical report. And
she was aware of it because I spoke to her about it. But she wouldn't take it because she knew.
And then what did you do?
I couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is how they manipulate parents. They get you in this kind of thing, and you can't. There's nothing you can do. You don't have custody. How can you take your child that you don't have custody of to a hospital, and nine times out of ten, you don't even know where they live at with these foster parents?
Were you aware of your father always fighting for you, Nathaniel?
Yes. No, he was always there, you know.
One caseworker tried to just – I'm trying to help him out because I know it's painful for him, and talking about it brings back a lot of memories because he's reliving it. Once you talk about, ask him a question, he has to relive it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a situation where this supposedly cute caseworker tried to date me.
Mm-hmm.
She came on to the agency, and before she even started work, she says, "I'm calling you up, Mr. Sutherland, and I just want you to know, I don't know how you feel about caseworkers and social workers, but I'd like to get together with you, and we can sit down and try to work this whole thing out and try to get your kids back.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start on Monday, but I wanted to touch bases with you first
mm-hmm.
and maybe see if we can go out for dinner or something." And are you crazy? I'm only here for my children.
Yeah.
That same caseworker tried to commit my son to a psychiatric ward in St. Vincent's Hospital.
Because you did react to her?
I don't know of that, but I didn't have even looked at it like that.
Yeah.
I just knew that she was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't trust none of those people.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was in a snake pit, and I had to deal with the snakes and not to keep my back too far from watching them because I knew they would bite.
Other people couldn't do this. How is it that you could?
I don't know. Of course, the creator probably built in something when I was born or even before I was born, but I don't know how I dealt with it.
You weren't letting those kids go.
No, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
No way, Jose. But, you know, Gus can understand that they say a mother's love, but see, a lot of people don't understand a father's love.
Yeah.
Because years ago, fathers would control families.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers just recently got control of dealing with the children and making the decisions. And, you know, Gus was around that time. You saw that type of thing happening, the changeover.
Okay, we have a caller. Let's go to the caller right now. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say this is a really powerful show. I'm having trouble even processing all this information because decent people just can't imagine that, you know, these institutions that are supposed to help children, you know, of all people, children, you know, are exploiting them. And one of the questions that I had was, what are some of the steps that are being taken to, and I might have missed this part of the show, but what steps are being taken to help advocate for parents who are going through something similar? Because just like, you know, with workers' rights and everything, people organize. It sounds like parents across the city need to organize, but, you know, there's probably a general sense that people don't have power, or like you said, they're being attacked through their jobs or they're getting their licenses taken away. What are some of the things that people can do so that they can, you know, I guess, have a successful battle against this war on their children the way that you have? And I know it took many years and a lot of pain, but how do you get the word out?
Yeah. How do you get the word out? What can people do? Do you organize? First of all,
people don't want to organize because people are inherently weak, and a lot of people have other crutches that are really stopping them from – this is a very big thing.
Uh-huh.
It's bigger than – we can conceive. It's really that big.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the part where she said it's hard to believe. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe it at first. It was happening to me, and I didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. I said, I can't believe this is happening to me, and this is happening to my children.
Let's go to the court case. You sued once, you sued twice, you won both.
I sued the first time. They dismissed that when I didn't take the first offer. They wanted to give us a couple of dollars, and I says, no, it's the principal. And appealed, and I won the appeal, and then they tried it again, and I appealed and won again.
New York?
The city of New York.
The city of New York.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The city of New York. I've dealt with the state on some issues, too, because that's another level.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to say that when you deal with the foster care system, the reason why you want to get your children out of it, because it, number one is your children, and they're your jewels, they're your offspring. The foster care system somehow puts drugs. It puts in the children's minds to question themselves. They lose their identity. They lose that sense of family. They become hardened individuals. And it's hard for them to migrate into society because they don't know how to deal with other people.
Mm-hmm.
They only have tunnel vision, and that's just them and whatever they want.
Because of all the things that they've been taught.
That's right.
And
then it leads to the education deficiency, you know, because they get miseducated. Like my son mentioned, the whole thing with special ed. They take the kids and put them right away into special ed. And then it leads to jail. And then after jail, it leads to their demise.
Sonny. Okay, I'm going to give out the number again, then we're going to go for another break. The number is 323-679-0906, everyone, to talk to Sonny Sutherland, to talk to Nathaniel Sutherland, to talk to Gus Henningberg, to talk to me, Kay Thompson. We're talking about child abuse and child protective services. We talked about that video. What was the name of that video again?
Nancy Schaefer, I believe, exposes the evil of CPS.
And that's Child Protective Services. It's going on all over the country.
Yes, it is.
And you can get it probably on YouTube.
Definitely can get it on YouTube.
And the name of that clip, once again, is
the Guinea Pigs. Guinea Pigs.
Guinea Pigs.
Yeah,
Child
Guinea Pig Kids.
Okay. Once again, the number for you to call to talk to Sonny is 323-679-0906. That's 323-679-0906. I think we might be taking another break about now. We will be right back. Ty Washington, you know, head of BN Moving Images, is in the control room right now. We're taking a break, Ty. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Oh, yes,
please.
Take there's a time I will go to my brother. Oh. I've asked my brother, will you help me? He turned me down, and then I asked my dear mother. Oh.
Charlie Thompson, Gus Hennenberg, Sonny Sutherland, and Nathaniel Sutherland, and we're talking about the Child Protective Services. Protective.
Yeah, right.
Gus?
I'm intrigued listening to this, not because I went through the same thing. My circumstance never went as far as yours did.
Thank God.
Thank God, that's right. But I was a controlling parent, if you will.
Yes.
Which is a little unusual because in the black family, at least, the father is not the controlling entity.
Right.
He may earn the money to pay for the mortgage and make a lot of the decisions, but if the kids are asked who's in charge around here, most of the time the father will not be the person named by the children.
Right.
Or by the local doctor. Right. Or by the local teacher.
Well, I found that out when I was taking him to school because I was the sole provider.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, where's the mother? Every time, where's the mother?
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking them to get their shots. Where's the mother? I take them their first day of school. Where's the mother?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you asking where the mother is? The father is here. Just be happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What are you, a sexist or something?
Yeah.
And the system is sexist. Yes, they are. You know?
They weren't taking you seriously?
Well, they always wanted to know, where's the mother?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I would get very interesting questions like, do you have custody of these kids? Let me see the papers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was that disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
But the inherent assumption about what he's saying is that the public, no matter what level of the public you're talking
mm-hmm.
about, does not assume the father is the controlling parent.
Mm-hmm.
If you're black.
Mm-hmm. If you're black.
If you're black. Now, I work for all types of different people, Jews and Arabs and all kind of other different people. And it's only with black people. When the father shows up with a child, does he have custody?
Yeah.
Did he steal the child? Or maybe he's kidnapping the child. Everything comes into question when there's a black male.
Mm-hmm.
And I faced a lot of that prejudice dealing with the whole system. One supervisor told me I should just leave my kids in the system and go make some more.
What'd you tell him?
I didn't respond
mm-hmm.
because it wouldn't have been a good response.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying. I knew I was in a snake pit, and I knew I had to walk a fine line and operate a certain way.
Yeah.
Since I'm a big guy, if they saw that I got angry, the first thing they would do was call the police.
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what? My visit is over. I don't get to see my kids. Mm-hmm. And then they write up a report. Oh, he came in one day. He got enraged, and he was very angry, and his kids should never see him again.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they told my children that at various points, they told each of them that they would never see their father again.
Were you, Nathaniel, in a state of, you know, always wondering whether or not you were going to go home again and see your family again or what?
Yes, I was always wondering, but like my father always told me, just hang in there, be strong. And at every point while we was in the system and when something went wrong with us, he was always there, you know, to support us and, you know, just tell us to hang in there and be strong, that this will all be over one day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that I was going to make them pay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that brings us to the other stage.
Okay, now tell us about
the case,
that. With the case.
The city now has another opportunity to make us a real offer to try to make us whole again. And I don't think they can do that because something that I haven't mentioned, that my oldest daughter, who they said prompted this whole thing of ACS getting involved, had made false allegations against me.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than investigating her and that she was a runaway and that her mother told her to say that so she wouldn't have to come back home with me, they let her go stay with a stranger. And the stranger's son impregnated my oldest daughter. So now I have a grandson based on the system.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, sometime later, my next to youngest daughter was impregnated by what they would call a foster brother. And then they took her child away from her and put her child with another family.
Oh, boy. And the system perpetuates itself.
Yes. Yes, it does. So they just keep it going. They keep it going.
Now, you were a spectator, a participant, a key party in all of this as it went on. From your perspective as a kid, how did you react to it? Did you understand it?
Not really. I just listened to my father, and many nights I went home crying, wondering, you know, what he was doing and when will we be back home.
But can I tell you, there was a little good part that we had going.
Right.
I was able to eventually get him placed in my mother's care.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived a little distance from me, but it was closer than a stranger. And we used to play games with the caseworker. When they come out to the house to check on him, he would be with me. And when they come to my house looking for him, thinking that he was with me, he would be at my mother's house. we had a little fun with that.
Folks, you just heard the real strategy.
Yes.
How to fight this system.
That's right. Just like back in the days, the slaves used to put guns in the coffins.
Yeah.
And they had the underground. We had our little underground.
Well, maybe it's really necessary for that to happen.
Yes, it is. Because they leave you no other choice.
Yeah.
And the thing is that when somebody, okay, the system is good for when there's a real crime taking place, just like you have the criminal justice system, when there's a real crime. But don't take it to something else, child protective, and then separating a child from a parent based on false allegations because you failed to investigate. Look at the case in Brooklyn where the girl died a year ago. I forgot the Nix something another. Not the Nix Mary, but there's another girl. It's a Haitian girl.
Okay.
And the girl had died because the mother didn't do certain things and had her tied to the bed and whatever. The caseworker lied and said that he went to the house, and he didn't go to the house. The supervisor signed off on the caseworker's work, and she didn't even double check the caseworker's work. That's why the Brooklyn DA, who is a very brave man, Charles Hines, which I give him all, he gets all kudos from me, because he stood up and he indicted the caseworker and the supervisor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now it shows that these people now can go to jail for falsifying. These are, you know, falsifying documents is a very serious crime. And these are city documents. And that's what these people have done. And that's what they continue to do.
But each time they do this within the people who are the recipients of this kind of, you know, mistreatment.
It's usually poor, black, and people that don't have the proper resources to fight
these people. A certain segment of the community that they're preying on.
They mess with a few white people because the system calls for white babies with blonde hair and blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They take those kids and put them somewhere else where somebody put an order in. And that happens a lot in the system. Oh, yeah.
That's horrendous.
It happens a lot. There's a lot of stuff going on. And it's really hard to in a show with people that are probably listening to believe this stuff. But the fact that I stood up, not only for my children and myself and my own sanity, I stood up for a lot of parents that can't stand up to show people that you can fight them and win.
Without, so there is a possibility of doing something for those people listening.
Yes, but it takes a lot. I don't have no legal back. I couldn't even spell. I used to come over here to Black Wax and ask them to help me write letters. They will tell you. Okay. Iona Jones helped me write a lot of letters. Believe me, and Shauna, they, because I could not spell. I came from electronics. That's my background.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to write. I knew how to do dear and sir and, you know, the basic stuff, but I couldn't spell worth 2 cents.
So where are.
But I knew I wasn't going to give up.
Uh-huh. So where are we now? Where are you now with this?
The city has to determine the damage that they cause, and they have to come to us now and make us an offer that we're satisfied with.
A monetary offer you're
talking
about?
No, it can't be monetary.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It has to be above and beyond monetary.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they have to make us whole.
What are you looking for? What do you hope that will come out of this?
Actually, I'm looking for a change in the system. There should be some type of safeguard that when somebody's caught in something like this, there's another avenue that they can take where they don't have to go through the whole system.
So you're not doing this for your own...
No. And I always told my children that.
Yeah.
Because they would tell... The system was telling my children, oh, well, your father is refusing to comply with us, and that's why you're still in the system. No, that's not why I'm still in the system. You should have never took them to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You violated their right to privacy, their Fourth Amendment right. You came in with a phony warrant and took my kids out. No, I'm not complying with that.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to rest until I get to the bottom of it. And I'm still at that point. And it's really never going to be over for me until they treat everybody with respect.
Exactly.
You don't do this in other countries. And you don't do this to other people with money.
How do they get away with it here?
Because there's no accountability. All the politicians are down with this thing. Look what happened to Nancy Safer.
Mm-hmm.
Share with the audience, many of whom would not know the name Nancy Safer, nor what happened.
Well, she was she's a former state senator from Georgia who was killed in her home. The media put a twist on the story that the husband shot the wife and vice versa. Then he killed himself. But that's just like saying Kennedy shot himself when he was sitting in that car that day in Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm. they were getting a lot of threats and whatnot, you would imagine?
Yes, they got threats all the time.
All the time.
Anyone that stands up and fights the system gets threats. Mm-hmm. Like I said, a doctor. If a doctor doesn't follow a caseworker or CPS, when CPS brings a child to them, is we want this child to be in the system. If a doctor goes against CPS, they'll actually challenge the doctor's license.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been cases that I've worked on with other parents where they challenge the attorneys. They took the attorney in the back room and said, just let this one slide.
Okay, Sonny. Now, just in case there are people out there who want to do something, they may be in the system. They may, you know, be the recipient of this child abuse. You know,
well, I'm going to tell you something.
What
that,
can they do? And where can they go? Who can they call?
A long time ago. If you're not prepared to go all the way, don't even start.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not prepared to go all the way, don't even start. Just do what they say and try to get out as soon as you can. But if you're prepared to go all the way, you can search my name and you'll find other people on the links through the internet, or they can contact you and Gus.
Right here at the show.
That's
we'll
right.
We'll pass it on.
And you'll pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to be prepared. If you're not, don't even mess with it.
You are not just a spectator in this process that went on. As you look back on it, what were your feelings while all this fighting was going on? Did you decide he's crazy?
No.
Or some version of that?
He did tell me that one time. Yeah, you crazy. Come on now. You know, what they saying did sound true to me. They made it sound good. You know, they had to be in a room with the caseworker, the social worker, with the law guardian. And they said that, you know, and the foster mom. And they said that you crazy.
Crazy good.
Ask them. He tell you. Go ahead, tell them.
I mean, yeah, at one point, you know, they made me believe, you know, my father was crazy. But, you know, he just never gave up. He always was there, you know, for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he just... he's still not stopping to this day, you know. He's going to make sure that everyone pays.
And it's not easy. Because
are you amazed at him?
Yes, very.
They tried to put me out. I mean, I live in a project. How do you get put out of the project? But these are the type of things that they do to you. They're pulling resources away from you. If I had a job, I would have got fired from the job.
Yeah. Because
somehow or another, somebody would have whispered, get rid of him. He's a troublemaker. Mm. He's a radical. Get rid of him. But I survived. I used to go on a train with my cup, and they don't believe, my kids don't believe it. And I used to do collections on a train with a sign, help save the children.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I used to give them money doing the visits and buy food and stuff for them. Because I knew they weren't eating properly in these foster homes. The foster homes were like ciphering the food, dispensing it out to them. They could only eat so much. He told me a story where the kitchen was locked in one foster home, Miss Parham in the Bronx.
Kitchen was, it had a lock on the refrigerator as well as a lock on the pantry.
And this is the same home where the foster father raped the girl and gave her AIDS. And I can tell you some other stories about what happens to foster kids in the foster care system, how they're abused and mutilated and all types of things.
Save that for part two, part three, part four. We're going to stay with this. Thank you, Sonny Sullivan.
Thank you, and Gus.
Thanks, Nathaniel.
Thank you. And I just want to say thank everybody who's supported me in my crazy mode. I'm still crazy, but
thank you, Gus Annenberg.
Before we go off, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How many of your friends have told you through this that you are crazy?
All of them, except for one. And he's on the other side of that control room.
Tylon Washington.
That's right.
And that leads me to say thanks to BW Moving Images. They are our production company here, Tylon Eusebio Washington. Online engineer Shona Glover, our studio engineer and producer, Tylon Washington, and Ayanna Jones. I'm host here at Kay and Gus, and Gus is also the co-host. Big guy.
Well, why can't both of you just be the host? Why do you have to be a co and a host?
Well,
because I'm being a female.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
You had to learn a lot of skills in order to fight this battle.
Are you telling me you got to learn the skill too?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
There's certain skills one does have to learn.
Okay.
And thanks to Jim at Jimmy Cap. Make sure you get those calls in to Jim's at Jimmy Cap's for your free hats, really.
What number do we call?
800-472-0778. 800-472-0778.
And they have to say the K and Gus show.
The K and Gus show. Give the size, the color, and He'll send you a pamphlet. He'll send you to the for free. It's a giveaway. No strings attached, okay? And we will just be joined again by other people starting next week. We're going to be talking to Neil Innes, who's a financial advisor. Because we have to, well, when you talk to him, he's going to be absolutely fantastic. Lots of other people coming on Annie's show. We're going to revisit that and a number of other things. Thanks, Nathaniel.
They covered that one up.
Iniquity.